Bienvenido, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. But let's jump into this bad boy. My name is Daniel. I'm one of your hosts of Freeform Radio. My other host today is Andy.
It's all good. We're back in Adam working on Labor Day weekend here in the United States at the time of the recording.
Heck yeah, man. We're getting this Labor Day weekend going. Even though we got another day off of work, you know, to celebrate the labors that we do. Today we're dropping this recording in so that we can give you guys something to listen to. But the weather is kind of cool today here in the Chicagoland area, so it's a great day to kick back and relax. And it sounds like that's what you've been doing, Andy. Reading Felicia Daybook. What's that about? I think you mentioned that to me before, but fill me in.
Yeah, give me a minute on the book. I want to go back to Labor Day for all international listeners, because at my job, I do talk to people from Europe. And I know in August, usually they take their summer holiday. And that's what they, from my understanding, we did business in the Netherlands, and we do business in Spain. I talking to business associate in the Netherlands, he told me in August they take it easy because they get a holiday something like 3 weeks from the government that's for the workers. And I was like, holy shit, you guys get 3 weeks? He goes, yeah, basically everybody takes it easy, or they go on the holiday vacations. I'm like, oh, cool. He goes, don't you guys got something like that in America? I go, yeah, we sure do. I go, we have a day. I go, it's called Labor Day. And he goes, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah. And it's only one day. And it's a Monday. And he goes, what? You only get one day? He goes, yeah. What do you guys do? And he goes, we grill a lot and we drink a lot of beer. And then we go back to work the next day. And he was kind of shocked about that. So I always find it hilarious how they take weeks and we get a day. And I go, it's because in America, we work hard because we like money. He goes, we like money too. We just don't want to work as hard. Right. So maybe the Europeans got it right. I don't know. But in America, we all know you have to work hard. You have to work to get paid. Otherwise, there's very few handouts. But that might be changing. But we'll see. That's my little anecdote for our international listeners. We get a day in September.
Yeah, when I used to work in parts replacements, there's a supplier that we used to deal with in Spain. And yeah, they used to have the same thing. They would be off of work for like a week. And if you got stuck needing a hot part during that week that all of Spain is closed, there was nothing you can do. You were stuck. You had to wait.
So yeah, in Europe, they... well, most of Europe, I guess, there's a couple weeks. From my understanding, in the Netherlands, he said they got 3 weeks. And basically, the company still ran, but it was like skeleton crews. And if you needed something immediately, it was like you were asking them to like move a mountain. A lot of shit had to happen. But normally, they were only getting out expedited stuff, and like that was it. Everything else had to wait 2 weeks, and I found it interesting. So if this is true, any of our international listeners, especially our colonial cousins in Europe, let us know. Shoot us up with some stories or facts at ffnquestions@gmail.com.
for sure.
But, it's interesting, but we'll enjoy your day, even though it's kind of rainy today, but tomorrow should be nicer. But getting back to what's going on with me, I finished the book, man. I had this book, Felicia Day. It's called Sometimes You're Weird on the Internet. And I had it. I found it at the clearance rack at Barnes & Noble. And I bought it. And it was, I knew about it. It was the paperback. I usually don't buy paperbacks no more. I feel like, I don't know, it's just something, a quirk that I have. I prefer hardcovers, but hey, man, it was like $3. I'm like, fuck it, I'll buy it. And
it's a biography, and
yeah, it's like a memoir autobiography. I mean, she's pretty young. I don't know if you know who Felicia Day is. She started a web series, The Guild. She has a Twitch channel. She's worked on Supernatural. She's done a lot of like shows, and she just talks about her struggle coming up in Hollywood, and you know, she gives her 2 cents about how hard the Guild, getting the Guild made up, how it was like a labor of love, and just people weren't handing shit out to you. I mean, from early on when she was a kid down to when she made the Guild.
Right. Let me ask you a quick question before you start jumping into the book. This is like you've mentioned her a few times, Felicia Day. What is it that intrigues you about her, or what is it that kind of piques your curiosity to find out more about her?
Well, The Guild. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen The Guild. I thought it was a great show. I mean, it was great to see. The only reason I knew about the show, because it was on when it was already, it's been out. When I got into it, it was already out for a while, but it ended up being on Netflix. And I watched some of they packaged, because initially all the early episodes were like 5 minutes long or something. They were like really short, but they bundled everything up into like a long movie or like a 40-minute show or something, you know? And you could tell it wasn't like this high produced, a big budget thing. It was something that someone did, took their time to get it correct. It's about MMO and World of Warcraft, something she loves. I mean, the book, she talked about how she likes it, and she had this character and Codex, and just, you know, she built friendships and all that. I mean, the show got so popular. The last season, she had guest stars like Will Wheaton, the guy from Firefly, the captain, Nathan Filler. I mean, they're like friends, and some other characters. That's how, from like early on, from that into what it became, because she talks about it on, or she wrote about it in the book, about, you know, when she uploaded it on her website, and then when she started uploading them on YouTube, early on YouTube, and you would get like on your front homepage like recommended featured views or something, and she was on there, and from there, like, it just exploded.
Yeah, I mean, so this thing has like a Game of Thrones vibe. Is that what it's sounding like, or like a Lord of the Rings kind of thing?
Well, it's the show is based around MMO, like, you know, multiplayer online,
right,
experience through World of Warcraft when it was like at its peak. So she's in a guild of five like different people, you know, an old guy, a married wife, a married woman, the teenage kid, and like this Asian player, and like this Indian guy, and they just build this guild, and they all have their character, their quirks, and they go from there about trying to improve, I mean, their gameplay, and trying to improve, you know, their validate their friendships, because they talk about some of the episodes like, oh, you're gonna meet them, that's weird, you know, that stigma back in the day. I don't think there's a stigma as about meeting people online today as it used to be back in the day. I mean, because people today, they just fucking swipe a certain place and they go fuck them now. But back in the day, you know, people are just like, I don't know, you met them on the internet, it's kind of weird.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a big online gamer myself. I don't know. Maybe I had some bad experiences when I was younger and people would kick my ass in Madden. That kind of turned me off to online gaming, but I don't really do that too often. Now, my son, Junior, he does everything online. He plays by himself on occasion, but for the most part, when he does the majority of his gaming, he's jumping on the, you know, the Roblox and the Fortnites and all the other stuff that, you know, kids nowadays play online. But yeah, I'm not really into that scene. So, yeah, I'm aware of MMOs and stuff like that, but I've never really dove into anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it caught my eye. I watched it. I think it lasted 6 seasons. She made comics out of it. There was merchandise. She just talks about that. I mean, that was my interest in reading it. She also went on to produce... she was early on, you know, YouTube's, you know, many incarnations of trying to produce content. One of them was she was one of the few people selected where YouTube paid creators like a big ton of like millions of dollars to create content for creating a channel on YouTube. And she did. She created Geek and Sundry. And it was basically like a gaming channel, gaming, and she did a couple of productions of like shows or like movies. I mean, I didn't like it as much as the Guild, but she got a ton of money. And I was shocked. I did not know this. In the book, I read that she sold the company off to another company. She doesn't disclose how much she sold it for, but I searched online, and I mean, there's no number out there, but they're saying it was a nice chunk of change, because she talks about creating the YouTube channel. She actually had not a mental breakdown, but she got to the point where she was so stressed out about it, she didn't know how to handle it. You know, it was just so much stress. She had to produce so much content in a little amount of time, which people today, like, oh, you have a podcast, oh, you have a YouTube channel, they think it's easy. They don't understand, like, it's a commitment, and early on, you're not, it's like a labor of love, I always tell people, because there's a lot of stress to get shit done, get it done right, and be consistent. I mean, because, you know, people come out, the biggest thing is not being consistent, and she went through that. She's like, imagine you have to do a weekly show, like a sitcom, she says, it's a half-hour show. They get 1 week to produce a half hour of content for TV. I had to produce something like 2 hours a week, two hours every week. Like, and I had to do it constantly. Like, think about that. And they had hundreds of people helping create a half hour for one show. They want me to produce 2 hours or an hour every week with like five people. It's like, she's like, I was stressed out. She goes, I was not healthy.
Yeah, it is tough. Even the podcasting, which I think is slightly easier than YouTube content. YouTube content is difficult. My wife actually just got into YouTubing. She's kind of dabbled in it in the past, but now she's really making a big commitment to it or trying to push forward with it. And you know, I told her, I'm like, I'll help you in what I can, but I'll show you how to edit and I'll show you how to do this, because that's where a lot of your time and effort, and above what this other lady, this Felicia, she had to actually create the content as well as produce it. You know, there's still the editing, all the, the uploads, social media, posting it so that you can get views, bringing it out there. So there's a lot to it in the background. It's not just turning on a mic, hitting record, and then, you know, just pressing play kind of thing.
Walking away, and it just magically gets done and uploaded. Yeah. It's I think people just see that aspect of it, like, oh, they did an hour, oh, it sounds cool, but you know, you don't see how the sausage is being made, you know. But
the sausage.
But going back to Felicia Day, I highly recommend the book. I mean, she even talks about, I think we discussed it in a previous episode early on about Gamergate. You know, I don't know if you remember that, Dan, about, you know, women doing sexual favors for
advances
of games.
Right.
And there's like a big, some people said it was bullshit. Some people said it was real. Companies, you know, it was like a bunch of stuff a couple years back. She never really said anything, but in the book gives it a whole chapter of it, and it was a pretty interesting take on it. And buy the book or see if you can find it. I was kind of interesting with how she worded it. She wished, this is all I'm gonna say, she says she wished she would have said more at the time, but she decided not to say anything.
Yeah, there was a lot of different opinions, you know, because just like anything with multiple people involved, there's a differences of opinions. But yeah, that was the basic gist of it. I know it did get kind of dirty for a while, where a lot of people got tossed into the mud. So I don't know enough about it to really speak about it too much, other than, yeah, like you mentioned, the Cliff Notes is, you know, there was somebody supposedly giving sexual favors to get better reviews in, yeah, in gaming websites and stuff.
And she says different, like, yeah, so it was a bad breakup. Just search it, you know, hashtag Gamergate, and let us know what you guys think. But the book ends well. There was a paperback. There was a bonus chapter talking about she did the book tour, and she went all across the country, met some people, you know, that inspired her, how the book inspired them to be better and create content and so forth. Overall, I love autobiographies. If I read a book, 99% of the time they're autobiographies or memoirs, because that's what I like to read. Let us know what you guys think. I mean, check it out, Felicia Day. She's pretty cool. She's done a lot of, she created a lot of content. She's the one that kind of got the ball rolling on, I remember she did an old G4 TV Attack of the Show. She did an interview about how she got money from Microsoft in one of the seasons to create the Guild so they could be uploaded first on Xbox Live. And she wasn't like crazy about it, but they were pretty cool. And they got like first dibs on it, then they rolled it out later on to other platforms. But that was the big thing early on, how to, you know, make money, like still to this day, but there's more options. But yeah, I mean, back then it was even harder.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up G4. Did you hear that they're coming back, that they're relaunching it again?
Yeah, I saw on Twitter they were looking for hosts, Danny.
Right.
He told me a submitting process. I sent one of our episodes, the one where you kept breaking up, but I sound awesome. So
nice,
maybe
nice.
I'll get a job there. We'll see.
Sweet, sweet, man.
I feel like I'm too old.
That's for sure, Andy. You are too old. Hey, on a quick side note, I don't want to sidetrack you, but what does your wife say about you liking interest of, like, Felicia Day? Does she get jealous, like, in any manner that you put interest into female actresses or female entrepreneurs, stuff like that? Does anything like that kind of, like, irk her?
Nah, she just sees that I read stuff. I mean, once in a while, like I said, I go through I want to read, and I'll start fucking reading books that I got. And she's just like, oh, okay. I mean, she'll see me, like, I could, if I really get into it. Like, the only reason I started rereading the book is we lost power. I mean, we literally lost power for, like, a day. So I couldn't turn on the TV or nothing. My battery was dying on my phone. So I'm like, fuck it. I picked up the book, and I finished it about in 2 days. So I was, like, about halfway through it, and I just cranked it out because I'm like, fuck it. I'm not committed, and I finished it. Now I have, like, books that I actually have a sequence of, like, after I finish this book, I want to read this book. I already moved on to the next book, and I read, like, the first chapter, but then it's been sitting there for, like, 3 weeks. I haven't even touched it.
Yeah, the only reason I bring it up is I was watching a TV show, and they were flirting with the idea that Elizabeth Shue might come up on an episode. And then I was just like, oh, shit, Elizabeth Shue, I haven't seen her in a while. I'm like, yeah, I used to have a little crush on her from Karate Kid. And then my wife just went into a whole thing. Oh, you and these blondes and this and that. And I just thought it was funny how a kid crush, kind of irked her a little bit. I'm sure she wasn't too upset, but she did bring it up.
She makes comments once in a while, like, oh, she's like this and, like, looks like that. And I'm like, and? Like, that bothers you? Like, not that it bothers her, but I don't know. She claims that she's not the jealous type, but then, I don't know. It's good and bad, I guess. But I read all sorts of. I read the Olivia Munn book a couple years back. I mean, I read Shatner's books. I read wrestling books. I got a shit ton of wrestling books. I mean, that's the next one I'm reading now. It's a wrestling book. So again, it's how I feel and my mood. If the book's really good, I could crank it out. Like, I read the Band of Brother book from the show or the miniseries. I actually read that book. That guy wrote a ton of WW2 books. That's like a huge, I think that's the biggest fucking book I ever read. And that took me a while to finish, but I finished. I read Reagan's autobiography. I mean, I read them all. I mean, it's just the moment.
The Reagan book was, did he write it or did he have a ghostwriter?
I don't know. I'm guessing he had a ghostwriter. But that was another big fucking book. But I feel like he skipped over stuff that I kind of remember. And that was one of the critiques of the book. I read some of the critiques that were saying, like, yeah, he skipped over a bunch of stuff. He throws some people under the bus, but early on, the early part of his life, growing up in Dixon, Illinois, and being a broadcaster, playing this and that, I mean, it was pretty interesting. I learned a lot of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he always pretty much had political aspirations.
Wow, cool.
But, yeah, I mean, you guys check us out. If you got anything you recommend for me to read or give a mini review, let me know. FFNquestions@gmail.com. The other thing I'm kind of proud of, I finally finished the original run of Unsolved Mysteries. So I don't know what to call it. I'm pretty sure there's a medical term where I have to finish things in sequence. I was finally able to finish that, and I was able to move on to the new Netflix Unsolved Mysteries. The only thing about the original series, which was awesome, it took me a while during this whole pandemic, 12 seasons. I got into this Facebook group, and apparently my thoughts were kind of right. I feel like some of the episodes were missing, or they were rehashing clips towards the end. They didn't put all the segments. I read that there's segments missing on some of the episodes. And I was like, I fucking knew it. And then I started towards the end. I started noticing they started reusing this end of Robert Stack of, like, they all started to look the same, like same jacket, same background. And they reuse an ending for some of the later seasons because I think they had somebody else do it or something, and they didn't want to pay that person money. So I fucking knew it, man. It was just like, yeah, they chopped up some of the later episodes.
Wow, so they had like a stand-in or something?
They just reused like a generic outro.
Okay.
Instead of using like his personalized, like, you know, something. Well, if you you know, where there's a mystery, you know, he had this thing, but they started reusing like the same fucking line. He looked the same, and it was like the same background, and he looked older. And I think like they just rehashed it. They put that in at the end, you know.
Oh, okay. So they just kept using the same outro.
Yeah,
and over
yeah,
again.
For like several episodes, and once in a while they would change it up, and I know there was like two seasons where they brought in this woman and they didn't use that woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just fucking used this generic outro or these sequences between. And then his voice changes in some of the episodes. And that's like a big critique if you read the comments. Like, people are like, well, what the fuck's going on? And I'm starting to think they did some like deep fake fucking voice thing.
Jesus.
Because it does sound weird, man.
Well, maybe it was just budget cuts, and they're just like, we don't have enough money. It's just a generic outro. Let's just do it. I mean, stuff like that is conceivable. I mean, it would be nice for us to come up with some kind of generic outro, and then, you know, we just finish our episode and then just plug in this outro. A lot of YouTubers do it. I mean, they record their video, and then at the very end, they have their outro where they do all their plugs, all their advertising, all their this. And it's just a generic same outro for the next 10, 12 episodes. And then they might come up and refresh it with something new after that. And, you know, so like they'll go a run of episodes with the same outro.
Yeah, man. But that's cheap, man. But again, I watched it during the pandemic, and I was like, man, this is fucking awesome. I joined that Facebook group, and they uploaded the missing segments, which was kind of fucking cool. But then I was like, all right, because my sister's been bugging me, like, you need to finish. Did you start watching the new ones? And I'm like, no, I need to finish the old ones. And she's like, you're a fucking loser. So I'm like, all right. So I fucking finished them up. And I watched the new ones on Netflix, which, by the way, got picked up for another season. I think they're dropping in the middle of October. When I was on Netflix this morning, I finished up the last episode today. I don't know. It's definitely has Unsolved Mysteries vibe to it, but I feel like it's too sleek, too new. They don't have a host. I mean, I don't know if you saw them, Danny. They use the people who are involved in the mystery. They're kind of narrating it, and it's just, it's different, you know?
Yeah, it is different. I did start watching it before. I don't think I've watched the last episode or two. I can't quite recall.
The last episode was really fucking good.
Yeah, I think the last one I watched was the UFO one.
There's one after that. Yeah, the UFO one was all right.
Yeah, that's the last one I watched. The UFO one was the last one. But yeah, you're right. I didn't even know that guy had died when I watched the episode, because while they were doing the intro.
Robert Stack.
Right. And they got the intro coming in and the usual music, little montage thing. And then when they don't cut to that guy in the trench coat, I was just like, what the hell's going on, man? I'm like, did this guy hold out for money? And then I Googled it, and yeah, he had died. I'm just like, shit. Like, I didn't even know that guy had passed away.
I read that he got, so the show ended at season 12. He was already sick. He had cancer. They came back at him that the show got renewed for season 13. He was telling people he was going to do season 13, and then he passed away like a month or two or something, from my understanding, what I read on the internet, that before he was the start doing the new shows, he passed away of cancer.
Oh, poor guy, man. So it does have like that feel of the old Unsolved Mysteries, but it is newer. It's not a multi, like, little episodes, you know. Usually in one episode of Unsolved Mysteries, you would see like three stories.
Yeah.
No, each episode is its own story, which I thought was different too.
Which was fine. I feel it has more of a, what they made fun of a year back, murder porn. It's just, they talk about it, they devote the whole episode to it, and okay. And then they got that little, at the intro, at the homage, that silhouette of like Robert Stack, which is kind of cool. But I feel like, yeah, it does need a host. I feel like if it had a host, it'd be cooler. But I get what they're trying to do. I mean, which is cool. I mean, the first season was awesome. All the episodes, the subjects was pretty good. I think the first one with that guy that found in the bottom of the hotel, I personally think he killed himself. I think he jumped off of that thing. Because I think...
What? Come on, Andy.
Dude, he was. I think he was mentally. He had some mental shit starting to go on. You think his partner killed him for money or something? I don't know.
Are you talking about the one that jumped off of that tall hotel building?
Yes.
And they found him in a hole.
Yeah.
No, dude. I thought they even showed something like there's no way physically he could have jumped out and landed in this spot. That it was like 30 feet. In front of him, and that there's no way he could do that arc.
Three sides from the building, and I think one of them you were able to. And then they went into like, well, if he jumped from here or he got thrown out, they wouldn't be able to all this other stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. If he would have jumped off that closer roof, he would have hit the spot, but he wouldn't have had the velocity to break through the roof and fall in all the way, and then like demolish his body, because I guess almost every bone. But anyways. I thought it was a pretty cool season. I still got one episode to go. So you said it's the better one of the season, so I'm going to have to watch it.
The last episode, of the season was... it had everything that I like in those shows. It had family. It was all women. There was cheating going on. And there was murder. And no bodies were found. It was a great season finale. It had everything in there. and I keep forgetting, like, there's since and the original the re-release of the shows, there was updates. I'm waiting for like updates, so there wasn't any, so I have to go on the internet and search for updates, and there really hasn't been that many updates on it. Some of them do, some of them don't, but a big chunk of them don't. I think the producers are releasing some stuff, and we just got to keep on watching, man, because I like the show. I'll watch them, but it's definitely Unsolved Mysteries-esque. It's not, to me, it's not like full Unsolved Mysteries.
Right.
But let us know what you guys think. I binge watched Unsolved Mysteries. Dan, I see you've been. It's on Netflix. Cobra Kai went to Netflix, so you finally committed to watch Cobra Kai, and you didn't subscribe to YouTube Premium or whatever the fuck they're doing now. I don't even know, but somehow Cobra Kai went to Netflix.
Yeah. They picked them up. They bought the license, or I don't know how that all worked out, but they're bringing season 3, which is coming out soon. But they uploaded the first two seasons, which were hidden behind that paywall, like you said, for YouTube Premium. I don't recall what it was called, you know, what the official term was. It
YouTube Red and YouTube Premium, YouTube 2. I don't even know what the fuck they do anymore, man.
Yeah, I think it was YouTube Red. But I don't even think they have it anymore. I don't really even see them advertise it. So I think they sold all that off.
So when I read this, I read that they're not going to do content no more. They just got out of that business completely. And they're just like, well, pitch YouTube TV and we'll be done with it.
Yeah. So I had watched season 1 before when it was on YouTube, when they put it up for free. And I liked it. I thought it was really cool. It had that Karate Kid feel to it, since Cobra Kai is a continuation of the Karate Kid movies. 1, 2, and 3, they don't really mention 4. And they don't mention the new one with Will Smith's kid. So the Jackie Chan one or did any of those.
Did you see real quick that one of the producers is Will Smith?
Same
Will Smith, yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't see that. But, yeah, so it's a continuation of the Daniel LaRusso, Mr. Miyagi karate. And it has, like, that 80s feel to it that it just brings that nostalgia back to you. And really, you know, like, Junior watches it with us, and he thinks it's good, but he doesn't get, like, those little 80 pop references, you know. There's a lot of old music. There's a lot of rehashed music from Karate Kid 1. So a lot of the musics that they play, like when they go to the golf and stuff, they play it again in this other little montage thing. So they play a lot of the old Karate Kid music, plus some new stuff. And I don't know, man. It just makes me pop every time I see stuff like that. I'm just like, yes, man, that's from the old Karate Kid. And it's like, it's super cool, and I really enjoy it. But yeah, it's got all like the main guys from Karate Kid, minus Mr. Miyagi. Pat had passed away already, so he's not part of the show. But everybody else is in it, you know, Ralph Macchio, William Zabeka, Martin Cove. Yeah, Johnny. Martin Cove, Kreese. So, you know, it's got a bunch of, even the old Cobra Kai guys, Bobby's in it. I forget the other two guys, but there's two other old Cobra Kai guys that show up. So, man, I just really enjoyed the first season a lot. The second season was kind of a little bit different, but it was also very good and ended very on a cliffhanger. To where even my wife was just like, holy shit, I can't believe they did that. So, real entertaining. I know my wife's looking forward to season 3, and so am I. Have you started watching any of it, Andy?
So, once it moved to Netflix, I started watching it. I watched the first 4 episodes. The guy at work, he's like, what do you mean you just watched 4 episodes? Didn't even watch the whole fucking first season? They're only like a half hour long. Like, motherfucker, I'm fucking, bro. I don't got time to be fucking binge watching this much shit. Like, I got a lot on my plate. And so I watched the first four episodes, and I mean, it's cool. I like when Johnny's getting choked out by the sensei flashback. That brought me back, because the sensei called him a fucking loser, and I'm like, yeah, man, he fucked up. But overall, yeah, I'm not so into it. I can watch it if I got like something where I really get bored. But overall, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's but I'm in no, I don't want to say it's not predictable, but I kind of get it. And like the Johnny character, I don't like how they're making him out to be. Like, I feel like he should have been more successful. I don't know. And the Machio, the Karate Kid LaRusso is just like, I feel like kind of pussifying him a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because even before this Karate Kid, Cobra Kai thing was developed, I had seen on YouTube a video that showed Daniel LaRusso is the asshole of the Karate Kid trilogy. And it shows points and references to where Daniel LaRusso is the one that antagonized Johnny and created all this drama. And when you watch it through, after watching that video and watching Karate Kid through that lens, or trying to see it through that lens, a lot of points are, you know, valid. And that's kind of, I think, the inspiration to Cobra Kai, because Johnny lives through that lens. He lives through the lens where Daniel LaRusso is the one that screwed up his life. He doesn't see it that he was an asshole. He doesn't see it that he antagonized Daniel LaRusso. He sees it as Daniel LaRusso is the bad guy of this story, and he got gypped somehow. And so that's what I think what makes the show a little special, is that it's through a different eye lens. It's now through the eyes of Johnny, kind of seeing his perspective. And you still see Daniel LaRusso's perspective, because it kind of flips back and forth. But it really gives you a good sense of what Johnny is experiencing and what he sees through the episodes.
Like, I get Johnny's point of view. I mean, he's trying to reclaim something that obviously changed when LaRusso was there, because he was the fucking man. And then I think in the first or second episode, they talk about that. Like, you fucking stole my girl. He's like, well, you weren't dating. Like, you know, that's like a whole other issue that YouTube video brought up. He also talks about, you know, that he cheated to win at the tournament. And he goes, well, you cheated too. He goes, I got a point deducted and you won the fucking championship. And then, you know, and he keeps harping back to that in the Cobra Kai model, or I don't want to say lifestyle. That's when he was at his peak and he was most successful. Strike hard, strike fast, and no mercy. And like, he starts reciting it in some of the episodes. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, they're trying to make you feel bad for him, but he's going back to that lifestyle or whatever. But I feel he's going back to that because he peaked too early, man. So, and going now, he's like, he still has his fucking Pontiac Firebird or whatever. And he's like fucking some handyman. He lives in a shit place. And yeah, man, it's just fucking like... Like, you had these standards when you're a kid, these characters, and then you see them now, how they grow up, you're just like, oh, man. But, and, like, LaRusso's just like, let me help you out, blah, blah, blah. And, like, Johnny's like, you're just being a dick. But maybe he is genuinely just trying to help him. And, like, that's why I said LaRusso should have been like, eh, get the fuck out of here, man. You know?
Yeah, I think what makes the show good, I'm not sure if you kind of perceived it as this, but I thought it kind of flipped the roles of Daniel LaRusso and Johnny, in where Johnny in Cobra Kai is the guy that's down and out, and the guy that has success is Daniel LaRusso. And so it kind of flips the roles of the first Karate Kid and shows an arc of Johnny trying to get into a better place, and where he first started off as being really down and out. Like you said, he's like a handyman. He drives a Firebird, but it's all like the paint is kind of fading out, and you know, it's got like these rust spots, and You know, it's just kind of showing him down on his luck and how he just kind of spiraled out of control after the tournament and never really recuperated from that loss. And so I think that's what makes it fascinating, seeing that point of view of how one event in your life can really lead to your future. But then also it gives the series somewhere to go. So you kind of see that progression in the character as he's trying to grow to be a better person. And, you know, even though we all kind of see Johnny as being the bad guy asshole, it's having him realize that maybe he did make some mistakes when he was younger and trying to, you know, make amends with those in these episodes. So I just think it's a good show. Like your coworker said, they're half an hour each episode. We were able to knock down season one in like 2 days. And then we just finished season two yesterday or this morning. I can't quite recall. And yeah, man, it was super cool. Got me left really exciting for season three. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. It's kind of like butterflies in my stomach. I don't know where the story's going to go from here because season two ended with such a cliffhanger that it almost like implodes everything that was set up in the first two seasons. And it's just like, holy shit, well, what are they going to do in season three? I can't believe it. So really cool to see, really excited. I hope the new season comes out soon. We're going to check it out and see what the characters go from there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said early on, you know, we were speaking when I was talking, rehashing the old scenes. There was a lot of that in the first two episodes with rehashing some of the scenes. And then the picture of Abby, like when he went back to the school in the second episode.
Ellie.
So they're setting up Elle or whatever. They're setting up a lot of like, okay, I think they're trying to, back then they're like, we're going to try to get some of these people back and see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. The other funny part about Johnny is that he's so out of tune with technology. It's almost like he was stuck in the 80s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though the world kept moving forward and everybody kept going on, you know, Johnny or Daniel is tech savvy. He has an auto sales business and he's pretty successful. And where Johnny was stuck, I mean, he didn't even have a smartphone. He didn't know any of that stuff. And it's really funny how, you know, the kids that he's teaching are real tech savvy because it's kind of in present day, the story. And everybody's using, you know, Tinder and all the other stuff on their cell phones. And Johnny is oblivious to that.
Yeah, he's passing out fucking flyers like in 2020 or whatever when this came, you know. He's passing out fucking flyers and people look at him like, what the fuck? And then like, yeah, when he was pushing the website, when Miggy fucking made the website and he's like, www. You know, it's just like, come on, dude. Like, fucking kids are born with a phone in their hand, you know? They don't need to know all this shit.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so for all you guys that are Karate Kid fans, I think it's a good show, good watch. It's on Netflix now. I'm curious to know if the first season or two are still on YouTube. But, yeah, check it out. I think it's a good watch. But the other thing I wanted to mention, Andy, is, man, I'm super excited. Chicago Bears start next week. The only thing that kind of sucks is that there's no preseason, which most people don't like preseason to begin with. But I think it's kind of good because it gives us a chance to evaluate, you know, some players and kind of put a gauge to new players that have joined the team and kind of get a feel for some of these players and how they're going to mix and gel together. And I think we're going to be missing that this year since with all the COVID thing and they're skipping preseason. What do you think? Do you think the preseason skip is going to affect them?
The matter is, not like Nagy fucking played them at all the last couple seasons. And that was a critique that in this town they had of Nagy, like, not playing the starters at all. Remember? And like after the shellacking they got early on last year, he was just like, well, maybe I should play him. I think there was even a conversation about it, like, that the, his mind changed where he was going to play him a little bit more in the preseason, but with the pandemic, all that got scrapped. And like you said, I think it is, as much as people shit on the preseason, I think it should be cut down to two games. And so to get an evaluation, because, I mean, they need it. They got to see, you know, real time how these guys react or if there's improvements or not.
I agree. I think preseason is valuable. Just look at right now. I mean, there's a quarterback, you know, tryout between these two quarterbacks. And it's just like, who is going to be the better one? So they can't really evaluate it truly against an opponent. They could only evaluate it amongst themselves in training camp. So I think these are the kind of things that you learn in preseason games.
Did you? I don't know how often you're on Twitter. I saw yesterday on Twitter there was
they gave it to Mitch. Yeah.
They gave it to Trubisky. Everybody was on Big Dick Nick, and I was like, ooh, but supposedly Trubisky, I mean, with the stuff that I read, that he looks better, he's improved, and everybody's like, Nick Foles knows this playbook better than Trubisky. I was reading that Trubisky changed his mechanics and all this shit, so, but we'll never know. We won't know until in a couple weeks, the first game against Detroit.
Yeah, I think the first game is next Sunday, if I recall correctly, so it's going to be exciting. I from what I'm hearing, like you said, Nick Foles, I heard, is not playing up to what they wanted him to. So he didn't steal the job away from Trubisky off of Jump Street. But I wouldn't be surprised that if Trubisky throws up a couple eggs in these first couple games, I would say even like two games, if after two games Trubisky just doesn't show anything, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Foles jumps in and kind of takes over. Or if a game is super out of contention, you know, it's like 40-0 kind of thing, then I could see Nick Foles coming.
They're playing Detroit, and Trubisky does awesome against Detroit every fucking year.
Then I could see Nick Foles jumping in and kind of like throwing a couple reps and maybe being able to show some of what he has to kind of get the public behind him to kind of convince the coaching to back him up. But yeah, it looks like Trubisky's got the role for now, at least, and we'll see how he does. I like Trubisky. I think he's a half decent quarterback. I don't know if he's a Super Bowl quarterback, but he's passable, I would say. The only problem is that you paid a lot to get him to be that franchise quarterback. You gave up a lot of picks. You gave up your first round draft pick, so you gave up a lot. So you picked him as being a franchise quarterback, but I don't think he is that.
You passed on two quarterbacks that are fucking great to get Trubisky, Mahomes, and the guy from Baltimore, or was it the Texans? I forgot. One of the Sean.
Texans. Yeah,
the Texans. They passed up on those two, which he got paid yesterday. I was seeing on the news they gave him a contract extension. And so did Mahomes. The only one that didn't get a contract extension was Trubisky, and he's in his final year. So it's make or break from him, which he's been, for what you drafted him, you want more. I mean, at best, he's serviceable right now. He can run and stuff, but you're looking for more out of him because he was the second overall fucking pick in the draft.
Yeah, what's worrying me is that Robinson is, he's injured. And he's trying to battle back from that injury. And I'm not sure if he's going to be able to play day one. I don't know if he's going to be out too much longer. I know he hasn't been in practice forever.
Well, he's got to see, like, what Nagy in his fucking playbook. And because, it's going to be fucking... I read that they were going to do more with the running backs, Cohen and Montgomery. But
now, Montgomery's injured.
They're fucking, the guy swung small, he's decent, and he's fast. Montgomery, last year he had fumbleitis, he kept fucking fumbling. So we'll see what happens.
But I don't know if there's been any news, but I heard he got injured on Thursday, was it?
Cohn?
The Montgomery. That he was, they were just kind of doing like soft, no pads, no nothing. You know, they were just doing some like running drills. And that he just went off limping off of the field. And they're saying that it's some kind of hernia or some kind of, he twisted his nuts or something. Something happened where he had to like limp off the field. And then when he got back to the back area, they had to bring a cart out for him because he couldn't walk anymore. So I don't know what his issue was, but I heard on the score on Friday morning, they were like, man, this could be big trouble, even though running backs are kind of a dime a dozen. You could pick up another running back, especially if Nagy wants to be more of a passing team anyways. It might fit more of his scheme to be able to justify
him. We all know his playbook was going to be his third year here with the Bears, and that motherfucker doesn't like to run. I mean, that's all I know. So he needs an accurate passer, which is Trubisky. One of the reasons they got Montgomery, because he was able to catch off the backfield. You know, he could throw it to him. So I feel in the NFL, you got to adjust to what you have. But he's a big proponent. You got to run the scheme that I have. But if you don't have the players that can run that scheme, then you're in fucking trouble.
Right. So, Andy, before we switch on, man, what's your prediction for game one here?
Oh, it's Detroit, dude. Trubisky fucking annihilates Detroit. I took my wife to her first Bear game 2 years ago against it was the Bears were they're playing Detroit. I think Trubisky threw for fucking 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. I mean, they fucking lit him up. He was fucking bombing them. That was the game where the fucking piece of shit kicker missed 4 field goals, and my wife goes, "Is this normal?" Like, no, don't you see everybody getting pissed around here? He lights up Detroit every fucking time, and he has their number. So I think we shouldn't get too excited if he puts 2 to 3 touchdowns on them. I mean, I think he's going to come out fucking blazing. I mean, and it's Detroit, dude. They, you know, it is what it is. I like Detroit, but fucking your football team sucks, man.
Right, and I got a feeling the Bears got this one. The first game should be in the bag, but we'll have to see. Every year, the analysts say that this is Detroit's year, so we'll have to see if this is it.
I'm more worried if they were playing like the Packers, because then you see it's not as good as, you know, what Rodgers can do. You know, he just has our number, but you want to see Trubisky respond, which in the past he's responded in certain games. But he's a competitor. It's just sometimes he just makes dumb fucking plays. I don't know if that's because he don't know the playbook or he's dumb. I don't know yet. I think he doesn't know the playbook.
Right, right. Well, speaking of dumb, Andy, let's get into our article of the week. For our article this week, Andy, I got to label this guy as dumb. This one guy calls like 1,000 times to 911 to see if they want egg rolls. It's like, where do they find these guys, man? Where do these guys exist? Who calls that many times? I'm not a huge fan of egg rolls to begin with. I could get down for some chop suey or some fried rice. But man, egg rolls, and to call 1,000 times, I think this guy was like mentally not there. Either that or he thought he was calling somebody else, because I couldn't see how he would call 911 1,000 times to see if he wanted any egg rolls.
Well, look at this. On the article states on Tuesday he called 911 241 times. On Wednesday he placed 32 calls to 911. All of them which involved food. They got in quotes. The suspect asked the 911 dispatcher if they wanted to buy egg rolls. Then he disconnected the line. And I was just like, damn, man. So I wonder if his egg rolls are that fucking good where he actually got arrested and went to jail.
Well, the article says that they couldn't even determine whether he works for the restaurant. So it's not even clear of whether he works at the restaurant in question. It's just that he was calling 911 and be like, "Hey, do you want these egg rolls?
Yeah,
do you want these egg rolls?" Right?
Yeah. So it says they cannot indicate whether he has any connection to the business, but they seized his phone and it's where they were to confirm, like, yeah, he had all the fucking, he did it. He was the one that he did it. So I mean, maybe he's not mentally all there, but are these egg rolls must be fucking awesome. But I mean, as a kid, I've dialed 911 and they've come to my house when I was a kid, and I would fucking freak out. But
really,
man, it only took this time like 1,000 fucking calls.
Well, tell us that story. What possessed you to call 911?
So we would, you know, when you're a kid, you're just like me and my sister, and I don't recall the actual details, but we fucking called 911 and we hanged up. And we're just like, oh shit, like we, like I did it. And then like 10 minutes later, they came to the house and they're like, oh, someone called 911. And my dad and my mom were like, what? And I was just like, oh shit, like, yeah, I accidentally called it. Like, well, try not to do it, because even accidentally or not, we're going to come. And I was just like, fuck. And then that's when I got the ass whooping. Or
so your dad is like, cabron.
Yeah, he's just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I could have fucking some illegal shit been going on. The cops just showing up. We did that. Yeah, I think I did that once. And I remember two officers came to the house. It was two, actually. And then they're like, is everything all right? Like, they're like asking the usual, like, are you being abused or something? You know, some, they're inquiring, they're doing their job. Luckily, we didn't get shot or nothing. But, yeah, they did their questions. They're like, okay, everything's cool. And then they fucking leave. And then that's when you don't want them to leave, because afterwards, that's when you get the ass whooping from your dad or mom.
Damn right. That's when the chancla comes out, goes flying.
It's like, oh, shit, I'm going to call him. No le hables. Don't call him, because we'll beat him up too.
Right.
But, yeah, that happened. I remember, to me, I think it happened to Hilda one time too, or my cousins, because I remember that's happened. And we're just like, oh, we accidentally dialed. And then they're like, don't dial unless it's an emergency, because we're going to come, and we got a talking to about, we're always going to come. And if something's really bad's going on and we're dealing with this, we're not going to be able to help other people.
Right, right. Now, getting back to Chinese food. Do you have a good Chinese spot by your house now? Because I know you moved out west and you're like by Iowa now. So is there any good Chinese out there?
There's a Chinese place by here that's really fucking good. I would dial 911 if I was there and if I couldn't get that food, which they were actually shut down for the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were shut down, and people on the Facebook page were like, what the fuck? When's this place going to open back up? It was closed down for like a month and a half. And then when they lifted the restrictions, they're like, okay, we're going to only allow to have carry out. And there's a fucking line at that fucking Chinese place all the time.
Wow. Okay. What do you usually get at that Chinese spot?
Mexican standard, man. They have pretty good orange chicken, General Tso. They have good crab ragoons. They have good rice. And what we really got into lately is pot stickers, right?
Man, oh, right.
We're like fucking hooked on those. So like recently we got hooked on them.
What is inside of that? My wife likes pot stickers too, but I tasted one and it tastes okay, but it's nothing.
So like, over here they give you two options if you want it cooked fried or steamed.
Oh, okay.
So we got the fried, and I'm like, I remember them being a little bit more wetter, so I go, if we ever go back, I'm gonna get the steam ones, because I've had steam ones in the past and they've been pretty decent.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan of pot stickers, and that's usually her appetizer. I'll usually get crab ragoons and then she gets pot stickers. But yeah, you know, I'm not even a huge fan of egg rolls. Do you usually get any egg rolls with your Chinese food?
When I was younger, but I'm not no more. I mean, I'll eat like a bite out of it, but I'd rather have that crab ragoons. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. My wife loves egg rolls, and my sister and my mom, I don't need it. I'd rather have the crab ragoons.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I could eat one, but I don't really care for it too much. To me, I'm more of a fried rice with shrimp. Or chicken chop suey, stuff like that. Even Alana, for a while, she got into some duck plate, and that wasn't half too bad. But yeah, I've never really been an egg roll guy. Sometimes they have free egg rolls when you buy more than $20, and that's the only time that I'm like, well, it's free. What am I gonna do? Throw it away? Then I'll eat it. But otherwise, I don't buy that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Chinese, I know people are particular about it. orange chicken. I tried lo mein. I like lo mein too. But I don't know. You know, back to the article. I have a feeling that guy is like the owner of the fucking restaurant.
Oh yeah, he's trying to get some publicity.
I think he didn't say they're associated because they don't want to get a bad rap. Like, this is the motherfucker that called about the egg rolls. Holy fuck him, shit. Man.
Yeah, no, man. I you know, to be honest, even Alana has been kind of sick of Chinese food lately. She hasn't really wanted to go back. I don't know if it's just that because there was a while, like every weekend we were getting Chinese food, and I don't know if she just got over it. But
well, you know, probably that's what it is.
Yeah, but we're right by New Star, so I mean, what can you blame me?
Can you
still
go to New Star?
Yeah, man, New Star, it's right here. It's the spot. You know, I go there.
Still that big and classy.
They changed a lot of it. They put that what's that Benihana shit on there?
The hibachis.
Yeah, they put those guys in there, and they got.
Are they Mexican?
No, these guys are whatever Oriental or Asian. And they're doing their thing, man. And I went in there after they remodeled, and it's nice, man. They really modernized it. And then they have like this outside like garden area now. And it's nice, man. They put a lot of money into it. I kind of feel bad because they put all this money into it before the pandemic. And now I don't know if they're in a tight spot where they invested all this money to kind of rejuvenate New Star. And now, you know, they're kind of stuck. You know, they're like, we can't open. You know, all we can have is delivery and carry out kind of stuff.
Well, it's good to hear, man. Maybe when after all this shit's over in a couple months when the vaccine's out, we'll go and check it out. But that's all the time we got this week, guys. We want to thank you for listening. You can remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter on the Freeform Network. And thank you, Kevin Smith, for liking one of our tweets. They made us feel special inside.
Yeah, you.
And send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Also, we got our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com, or COM, as Johnny would say. There you see our links to Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, everything, every platform, YouTube. We're on all of them. You name it, we're on it. So check us out. If you, whatever platform you're using, subscribe. Leave a comment, share, whatever you do that helps us out immensely. Again, Freeform Radio, we got Danny.
Yes, sir. Sweep the leg. You got a problem with that?
And we got All Good Andy. And Down 911 if you think this episode was awesome. Just kidding. Please don't. You know, we're broke here. We want to thank y'all for listening. And we'll check you out soon.
That was cool, Dad.